When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swinging a drive towards the gap in right center. It's pretty deep. It's back near the wall. It's gone. It's gone. Francisco Lindor. He may have just outdone himself. He has hit a grand slam.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yes, that line throws on the right, babe. Not that Mackie.
Where is he? Where is he?
Back in town.
McMonagle here with you on this Tuesday morning. Take your phone calls for the next 3 hours till the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. I did that nice and slow to keep my calm, very much like Carlos Rodon. And I'm rhyming. How about this? We got Romley on the other side. And again, taking your phone calls here on The Fan this Tuesday morning all the way until 5 o'clock. And it could have been so perfect. Every team, and for you hockey fans, I'm sorry I didn't include them in my tweet. I understand it felt like today was a Met, Yankee, Jet kind of day. Yes, all the hockey teams played, and they all won. There was only one team that spoiled the bunch. And believe it or not, I feel like we have to start there because it feels like an open wound festering at the moment. The Yankees had a very nice win. The game was never really in doubt. The Mets get off the deck. They continue to do it. Lindor with the leadoff home run that set the tone for the rest of that game. The superstar playoff god that is Vientos. I promise, Mets fans, we're going to get to it. But I have to start with this miserable Jet team that I put so much into that I told everybody was going to the AFC Championship game. And now they're going to get off to this hot start with this lousy schedule they have. 2-4 with the season falling apart, already fired the coach. And you get this performance last night that, you know what, is the most frustrating one of all. I loved you most of all. So I'll miss you most of all, Scarecrow. Because I got to tell you, the thing about the Jets is, over the last couple of weeks, we've fired a coach. We've had plenty of people to blame. We've had an offensive coordinator to blame, clearly a head coach to blame. But for me, it's been about the quarterback. And I don't know if you listen to me talk football, Giants and Jets. I tend to talk about the quarterbacks because, I don't know, they're the most important position in all of sports, arguably. And Aaron Rodgers hasn't played well enough. But here's what's frustrating about last night. The reason I predicted that they would be in the AFC Championship game, the reason we thought this team would break the streak of 13 consecutive years, is because when you look at this roster, they are talented. I still believe that. They are very, very talented. And you are having a quarterback come here in Aaron Rodgers where he didn't have to be MVP Aaron Rodgers. He just had to play the quarterback position at a level that Zach Wilson and all the schlubs of the past decade plus, if he just played to a level somewhat resembling Aaron Rodgers, this team could win. This team would win. That's how talented they are. And what's frustrating about last night is I honestly believe Aaron Rodgers played a very good football game. Was he perfect? No. Was he a Hall of Fame player last night? I don't know. No. But he threw for 300 yards. He threw two touchdown passes. He led the team into the red zone four different times. He hit five different receivers. He played well in this game, well enough to win. But the same crap that I thought Aaron Rodgers could elevate this franchise from is still biting them in the ass every single week. Doesn't matter. I guess who are we going to blame the penalties on this week? It's not the coach. 11 penalties for 110 yards. And I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, this penalty's a bad penalty. That shouldn't be a roughing the passer, even against Rodgers. Fully admits it shouldn't have been a call against him. Buffalo had 11 penalties. The most penalized game in the NFL this season. And I have to tell you, I didn't see every single one. I'm a crazy Yankee fan in the middle of a post-game situation, game one of the ALDS. I've obviously watched the game. But my God, every time I turn around, every play, there's a flag. But it's the same crap from the New York Jets. 1-for-4 in the red zone. Missed opportunities. The guy falling down at the end of the game. Poor decisions from Breece Hall. But let's be honest, Breece Hall, who's been terrible the last few weeks. 113 yards in this game. The offense played much better. The defense didn't respond to their coach being fired at the beginning part of this game. And at the end of the game, with an opportunity to get the ball back, they can't make a play. They can't contain on a quarterback who clearly is going to keep the ball. Everyone knows he's going to try and make the play himself. That's how Buffalo runs it. And in a game where they had an opportunity at every which way, never mind the kicker who missed the 32-yard field goal, and don't tell me about wind, not at 32. You want to tell me he missed a 55-yard field goal and it blew all over the place? Fine. Not at 32 yards. Zuerlein's been bad this year. And let's be honest, I know we don't like to put the blame on the kicker. I'm not saying we should. It's not his fault they lost this game. But let's be honest. If he makes a kick against Denver, they win that game. If he makes kicks in this game, it's a completely different season with a different feel to it. But as of right now, it's 2-4. Buffalo just took a big-time lead in this division with a win on the road against this Jet team. And it feels like, where the hell are the Jets? You heard Troy Aikman at the end of the game talk about it. Like, I don't know where the Jets go from here. Well, where else do they go? They go play Pittsburgh and try and turn their season around, because I think they're too freaking good to wallow in mediocrity, to wallow in 2-4. I still believe that. And it's one thing when Rodgers sucks. It's one thing when Hackett sucks. It's one thing when the offense is terrible and you lose a miserable game. You have no business losing to Denver, but you look like trash. And Rodgers looks old and hurt. That's fine. I'm not saying it's fine, but I'm saying I understand losing those games. When he throws for 300 yards, two touchdown passes, Hall runs for 113, you get 100 yards receiving from Wilson, 100 yards receiving from Lazard. You can't lose this game. You can't allow the same crap that has held the Jets down for years to still hold them down, even when Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback playing well. Playing well. Okay, not what our hopes and aspirations were that he could be, but well enough. That's still the best quarterback game this team has seen in a decade. And you got Tyron Smith looking completely washed up, holding penalties that negate touchdowns. Just the same crap. He was supposed to elevate them. The power of belief. I talked about it over and over again. How does this same crap happen? How do they still have bad delay of game penalties? 11 penalties, and I don't care. Don't tell me they're all bad. 11! They have no business losing this game. And I know Buffalo's a good team. I know Buffalo's a good team, and they missed their own. They missed kicks as well, an extra point. I understand that. But this Jet team had every opportunity to win this football game. Every single one. And they literally fall down. Like, when they have a chance to make a play, was it a great throw? Did he give his... It wasn't a great throw, but he gave Williams a chance to make the play. He doesn't do it. They had opportunities. This defense has an opportunity to give the ball back to Aaron Rodgers. The kicker has an opportunity to tie the game. They can't. They just, for whatever reason. And listen, I thought the offense looked better. I don't think the defense responded to Robert Saleh being fired, but I think the offense kind of responded. They had their best opening drive in forever. Like, I thought the offense looked good. The The play calling was better. The run game clearly took a huge step up from where it's been over the last couple of weeks. I thought Rodgers played a much better game. I thought everything, like, I thought they responded to the Hackett demotion. I thought the offense had a pep in its step, and they still, too many penalties at the inopportune time. The offensive line looking completely awful. Smith just looks, I mean, it's a bad scene right now with Tyron Smith. It's just a bad, he was terrible in this game, the penalties, all of it. Aaron Rodgers getting beat up back there. But still, again, if you told me that Rodgers throws for two touchdowns, throws for 294 yards, Wilson gets 100, Lazard gets 100, Hall runs for 113 yards, that's a game they're supposed to win. That's a game this defense is supposed to have them in a position to win. And still they lose. Like, it's so frustrating, and now you're trying to figure out where this team is moving forward at 2-4 with the season on the brink. Make no mistake. You know, you can come back, you can come from behind 2-4. I don't know about the wild card situation. I still think the division's in play. You know, you're going to go play Pittsburgh. You're going to go play New England. The Jets have an opportunity to get back into things. But it's just amazing to me that this is still a game they lose. After all this, after everything that's happened, after Rodgers coming here to save this franchise, he plays a game like this. And again, I don't want to make it seem like Rodgers was unbelievable, but he was good enough. These are games they're supposed to win. That's why I remember Evan screaming, and I've been saying it too. This is why he's brought here. He's brought here to win this game against Buffalo with the division on the line, to go to 3-3 in first place and feeling completely different than you feel this morning as a Jet fan. And he played well enough to do it, but he's getting his ass kicked. He makes just enough mistakes. I'm not saying he was perfect. The guys are falling down around him. The aging Hall of Fame caliber left tackle is getting his ass kicked. They're still making dumb penalties. The defense still breaks at the wrong freaking time and can't secure an opportunity for Aaron Rodgers one last time. Like, it's just the same crap. I thought they looked far better than they've looked in the last couple of weeks, but it's still the same things dragging them down. And I got to be honest, we'll play the clip a little bit later. Hearing, you know, I don't know how many people turn to the Manning cast. I do sometimes. I never do when it's either the Giants or the Jets. I want to focus on the game. But other teams, I'll turn to the Manning cast and have some fun with it. I think they do a good job. But to hear Bill Belichick and Peyton Manning on the Manning cast, talking about how early it was to fire Robert Saleh, and to talk about how the defense hasn't responded, and to talk about how it's still all the penalties holding them back, while he's gloating in it and literally saying, "Oh, you know, I'm no Jet fan, but Saleh had this team ready to play. Saleh had this, Saleh had that." Now, I don't know if it's true or if it's just Belichick trolling, but my God, as you're watching this team lose the same way they have lost year after year, Wilson or Rodgers, it doesn't matter. Saleh or Ulbrich, it doesn't matter. And watching Bill Belichick in the wings talking with Peyton and Eli Manning about how what a great job Robert Saleh did and it was too early to fire him while you're still losing the same ways you blame the coach for losing. I mean, this is only the Jets. Only the freaking Jets. It is amazing. The negative cloud, I joke that they are a planet that literally has a gravitational pull for crap. They have nothing but these crap satellites circling around them. It never freaking ends. It never ends. You got, obviously, you could use a pass rusher now. I mean, they get no pass rush. You got that situation with Haason Reddick circling around your planet, Devontae Adams circling around your planet, Aaron Rodgers doing God knows what, saying God knows what, got the coach fired, the coach situation, Hackett, how terrible of an offensive coordinator, Bill Belichick taking shots from the sidelines, just all of it circulating around a planet that no matter who gets near it, whether it be Aaron Rodgers or anybody else, they get sucked in. And on a night where we celebrated the New York Mets, or day, should I say, where we celebrated the New York Mets getting off the deck when a lot of their fans were afraid about that first game, embarrassed by that first game, shouldn't have started Senga, this thing could run away quickly. Instead, they put their foot in the ground and their hero, their MVP, their guy, the guy they brought here to change who the Mets were. And I know it's taken a couple of years, but they bring him in here. And what does he do? Lead off home run and change immediately the feeling around this team, the feeling around this city, the feeling around Los Angeles. And they tie their series. Vientos with the grand slam. We'll get to it. Manaea with another good pitching performance. They're coming back home doing what they had to do and get the sweep. Then you get to Carlos Rodon shutting up everybody. Tell, oh, why is he starting in this game? He should be the fourth starter. I can't take it. This guy sucks. They're better against right-handed pitching anyway. What a mistake by Boone and Cashman. They're a bunch of idiots. He goes out there and has 25 swings and misses, dominates Cleveland, wins game one. The Yankees get enough. Stanton hits home runs. Soto has his first Yankee playoff home run. They beat Cleveland in game one. Weaver's unbelievable. He got Plesak on Major on MLB Network saying he's the best reliever in baseball at the moment. Everything's going great, and the same crap cloud surrounds the Jets. They got all three hockey teams winning, and there's the Jets giving you the same crap they have given you since 1969. That's probably hyperbole, but I went there. 98? I don't know. But it's the same crap, man. Even Aaron Rodgers can't pull them through. Unbelievable. 888-808-1019. So, Jet fans, let's go. How's your season feeling? 2-4. You done? You dead? You fed up? Aaron Rodgers sucks. This thing's a disaster. Blow it up. Blow the whole damn thing up. Why would you trade for Devontae Adams at this point? All of it? Or is there some optimism that the offense did play better, that Aaron Rodgers did look better? If they could ever figure out a way to block for him, they could, you know, they might have a chance. Pittsburgh's offense sucks. If you could ever just put forth a somewhat of a decent offensive performance and find a way to beat Pittsburgh, it's followed up by New England, and you got an opportunity to get the season back on track. We'll get to the baseball, obviously. We'll talk Yankees with a big game one victory with Gerrit Cole on the mound tonight to give them a 2-0 lead, hopefully, looking to pitch them to a 2-0 lead, and the Mets do what they do best. And freaking respond. And immediately. The team is unbelievable. They're unbelievable. 888-808-1019. So we got the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, the baseball, the bad, the Jets, the ugly Rami Lavi on the other side. 888. That was just a shot. Needless. I just couldn't come up with ugly. So I went there. 888-808-101. He's actually very striking. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Taking your phone calls all the way to 5 o'clock. Right here on The Fan.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 225. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I just heard Aaron Rodgers say something, and I was curious about it, and I looked into it, and we'll get to it later. It's rather funny. But, yeah, the Jets, man, the hits just keep on rolling. We'll get to the baseball, obviously, as yesterday was a great day for both teams. We are now 6 wins away from a Subway Series. 6 wins, 3 from each side from a Subway Series. I didn't think it was possible. It's starting to look more and more like it. I'll tell you, I feel a lot better about the Yankee side of it if they can get the win tonight. If Cole can go out there and give them a 2-0 lead heading into Cleveland, I'll feel a lot better about feeling really good. Because I'm nervous as hell, man. I'm pacing immediately. I'm that first inning. Judge doesn't get a call. I mean, he's only the greatest hitter on the planet. Can you give the guy a call? Like, my God. And I know that sounds like excuse making. The fact of the matter is he did a good job taking that pitch. It's 6 inches, you know, low. It turns a 2-1. It turns a what should have been, a 3-1 count into a 2-2 count. And then the guy makes a perfect pitch and gets the strike three. It's absolute garbage. But it's okay. He's coming around. But let's start with the Jets. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Kevin in Vermont. What's up, Kev?
Chris, I was going to touch on football tonight. First of all, thank God, thank you again for being there to make what I do easier every night driving this truck.
Oh, well, thank
anyway,
you. Yes.
I was going to touch on football, but honestly, I haven't given a damn about the Giants since Eli won that last Super Bowl. And I'm like Brett from Long Island who wants to give Danny Dimes a golden jacket tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Let's get to baseball, Chris.
Okay.
Tonight was great. Both sides, and I'm not a Chamber of Commerce fan. I love the Yankees.
Right.
But I am rooting for the Subway Series. One, because we need to put little brother back in place where they belong, And B, I have this odd feeling that if we get to a Subway Series and the Yankees happen to lose, that Soto might jump ship to the other side, which is cool. And that's fine because, you know, we could put Dominguez out there. We could get somebody to play first base, you know, whatever. But I don't want that to happen. I have such a good feeling about this team, Chris. Like, I want it to continue.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I want it to continue.
I hear you. But, Kev, let's not even – why even – and thank you for the call. Why do you even want to talk – why do you even want to think about where Soto's going to go next year? Like, I don't care. I honestly was hesitant to for 5 minutes I had to put the kids to bed. My wife was in the middle of something, and even though it was a Yankee playoff game, I felt like, all right, let me just take 5 minutes, go upstairs, put the kids to bed, give them a kiss, come back downstairs. I paused the game, I came back, Soto hits the home run. I'm about 5 or 6 minutes late to tweeting out my Soto is a Yankee tweet, which I do every time he does something of significance. And even I'm like, I don't even want to do this anymore because I don't care about where Soto's going to be next year and all this stuff. Like, I did it as a kind of a troll job to all the people who tell me, you know, just every conversation was about where's Soto going to be next year? Free agency with Soto. Soto's, I was like, Soto is a Yankee, damn it. But I don't care. And let me just tell you something. If he pulls the Durant, I'd be surprised. I actually think playing the Mets in the World Series makes it less likely that he leaves for the Mets. I don't think it matters all that much either way. I think it's about money. If he's the money guy, if he wants every last dollar, he'll go there. I don't think that matters. But I think it would be a negative perception of him if he, with the Yankees, couldn't beat the Mets. So he's the member of the New York Yankees who finally fall to the Mets and do more damage to the narrative or dynamic or whatever you want to call it of big brother, little brother, as he put it. If he's going to change this city by losing to the Mets and then go join them, that's weak. It's weak. You know it. I know it. He'll know it. Now, if they offer him $700 million, he won't care that I think he's weak. He won't care. But it would be. So I would actually think a Subway Series makes it less likely. Because how do you lose to a team in the World Series in the same city and then join them? Yuck. You don't want to do that. But that's not the topic of the moment. Let's go to Mickey in Westchester. What's up, Mickey?
Mikey again.
I'm sorry, Mikey. That's my fault. I just look over there. I see M-I-K, and I just think Mickey. I'm sorry. What's up, Mike? I'm a Disney guy. It's my problem. What's going on?
Yeah, I was actually at the game tonight.
Yeah.
And it was electric in there. But then again, it's just the same old Jets.
Yeah.
And I'm actually, and think about it, you know, you were saying, you know, Rodgers played a good game and yada, yada, but without that Hail Mary, what's the game? Imagine we didn't get that was the last.
No, I understand. That's part of the magic that Aaron Rodgers brings here. He's like the Hail Mary King, right? He's the catch guys with too many men on the field, get a free play king. He's the Hail Mary King. Like, these are part of his allure. This is part of the stuff that makes him who he is. And there he is doing it for you, and it's still not good enough.
And that's the thing. I'm starting to this team is almost looking like last year. The defense is keeping us in. And then we can't get the off, even though they did play a lot better.
They have 400. They have almost 400 yards of offense. They get a running game that's been stifled over the last few weeks. Hall breaks out for 113 yards. Wilson and Lazard both with over 100 yards. I know the Hail Mary's the big thing for Lazard there on the yardage.
Yeah.
But they get 393 yards of total offense. Like, that's not that. It's not terrible. I'd have to look back. You want to tell me it's just like last year? I don't know how many games where Zach Wilson had 400 yards of offense. Maybe they're there.
I get that, but eventually, it's not good. Like, if the defense can only you know, be
I know, but you keep saying that, but I'm just saying Aaron Rodgers already has the same number of touchdown passes now that Wilson had all of last season. Like, I understand the points can, but I'm just saying it's not like it. This game didn't feel like, oh, the defense did everything it could to keep the offense in the game. It's with even with Rodgers over the last few weeks, there's been moments it's felt like that. Certainly Denver felt like that. I don't think this game felt like that. Like, oh, thank God for the defense keeping them in. The Jets are moving the football.
Yeah, I hear you. We did. You know, obviously move the football, but then there would always be those stalls. Penalties.
Oh, no doubt. Penalties,
I don't know what was going on both sides. It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. It almost seemed like they wanted to keep the game going on ESPN.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, with all these penalties.
Yeah.
And I also, the schedule coming up, I don't think we're going to beat the Steelers. I know they suck, but it's in Pittsburgh. They still got a good defense. Then we got
a great
defense. Seahawks later on, Arizona. We got the Texans coming up. You know,
well, you got to really listen. These next game. 2 weeks are you've got to get to 4-4. And thank you for the call. You've got to get to 4-4 over the next 2 weeks. You have to go into Pittsburgh and win Sunday night prime time. You have to. Now, I think their offense stinks. I do. I don't think I will say. I'm assuming it's going to be Fields. I don't think Fields is very good. I've watched a lot of the Steelers games. I've happened to bet on the Steelers games. Tomlin is one of those guys that he's a trend better. You can bet he's been coaching long enough and he set enough trends, and this is the, you know, this is the spot, a home short dog, which he probably will be. This is the spot you typically do bet Tomlin. But I think the Jets have every opportunity to win that football game. Go win it. And then you're on the road against the Patriots. They absolutely should win that game. Then you're home for the Texans. But, I mean, then you get the Cardinals, who are the biggest up and down, good enough, you know, these great come from behind victories against the Niners and then just absolutely crap the bed against Green Bay. I mean, they're up and down. They'll give you a good week, a bad week. I mean, those are winnable games. The Texans, they'll be without, you know, Nico Collins still. That defense should be able to limit Stroud on some level. That's at home. That's a game you can win. I mean, these are games you can win. You know, on a Thursday night, a short week, on Halloween. That's a Jet victory, right? That's got Jets written all over it.
But are they going 8-3 the rest of the year? Because they need to at least to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not focused on that just yet. I hear what you're saying. I'm focused on the next 2 weeks. Get me to 4-4, and then we'll figure it out. But you're right. You have to go something like 8-3. So if you go 2, now you got to go 6-3. Not crazy. I still think they're talented. I know you're a Jets fan. You're not going to see it. I get it.
No, I see the talent. I do.
No, you're not going to see how it's plausible.
I see them finding ways to lose.
Every week has been
a different way.
No, it's absolutely true. They've lost 3 in a row now. I think it's they've lost 3 in a row in 8 consecutive seasons, something like that. I mean, they're just a disaster. They are a disaster, I'll give you that. But to me, I don't like to focus that far down. 2 weeks. Get back to 4-4. Beat the Steelers, beat the Patriots. Who knows how you'll be feeling after that? Beat those two teams. Back to 4-4. Who knows what Buffalo does? And then you got a legitimate game against the Texans. Who knows where they'll be? Like, let's get there. 2 weeks.
Tua will be back by the time the Jets play them.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But not focused on them either. At that point, are they really going to... If their season's, like, really dead, are they going to throw him out there? I know they said that he could be healthy and come back, but I'd have to see that. Would you throw him out there if your season's dead?
No, I mean, the earliest he could be activated, I think, is not even this week. It's like after. It's the 26th or 27th of October. So
right. So they play the...
7-8.
I'm trying to see when they play the Dolphins. They play the Dolphins.
It's twice in December.
It's twice in December, yeah. Listen, I'm not focused on that. 2 weeks. 8-3, whatever the case. 2 weeks, get back to 4-4. Short, attainable goals. Key to life. Constantine and Wayne. What's up, Constantine?
What's going on, buddy?
What's up, man?
Listen, I'm not going to blame the refs. I'm not going to blame Zerline. We lost. But you kind of stole my thunder. Get to 4-4. We're 2-point favorites in Pittsburgh next week, believe it or not. And we get the Patriots. So you get to 4-4. All of a sudden, the conversation's completely different. So I'm not throwing the towel yet on the season. You know, we get to 4-4, everything changes. What do you think?
If we get to 4-4, and what was that? Get to 4-4 and what?
If we get to 4-4, I think we're...
Well, everything you'll feel different about the team. You win two consecutive games. You beat a playoff team in Pittsburgh on the road. You continue to beat up on the Patriots, and you're 4-4. Who knows what Buffalo's doing in that time period? We'll check Buffalo's schedule, see who they have in that time period. But here, the next 2 weeks, Buffalo is playing. They're home against the Titans. That's a game they should win. And then they're on the road against Seattle. Tough game. I mean, get to 4-4. You'll feel better about the team coming off two consecutive wins. It depends on how they play, but Pittsburgh would be a good win on the road. You beat Pittsburgh Sunday night, whole world watching primetime. Aaron Rodgers beats the Steelers in Pittsburgh. You're going to feel better about the team right away. You win the next game, you're 4-4, and you see where you are. They've dug themselves a hole. There is no doubt about it. They've dug themselves a hole. But ask yourself this. The Cincinnati Bengals are 2-4 as well. Take your Jet fandom out of it. Take everything else you've seen. They're in a tougher division than the Jets are. Are you calling the Cincinnati Bengals dead? You know you're not. You know you're not. You'll say, oh, they have Ja'Marr Chase. They have, you know, they're the Bengals. They've been, you know, Joe Burrow. You wouldn't call them dead. Nah, you wouldn't call them dead. Don't give me that look. You wouldn't. You ready to call the Cincinnati Bengals dead? No, you're not.
I saw their offense against the Giants.
I understand that. And before that, they had one of the more prolific offenses in the league this year. Right? Ja'Marr Chase had how many yards the week before against Baltimore? They're this close to beating Baltimore and this close to beating Kansas City. They had they walked through the Giants and still won. They're not
like
dead.
If the Jets beat Denver.
Yeah, I mean, listen, and the Jets could have beat Denver
that's
if the field
point.
Goal kicker
that
made a kick. Yeah, exactly.
So you have a terrible game, but you find ways to win. So that's why they're not dead.
But they're 2-4. It's the same record in a tougher division with probably a tougher schedule considering all the teams in their division they have to play.
And it took the Ravens overtime to beat them.
I understand that. The Jets are 2-4. 2-4. It's not over. James in Pearl River. What's up, James?
Yeah, hey, what's going on?
What's up, buddy?
I got two Jets-Giants questions, kicker problems. What do you think about Zuerlein? He missed, you know, Denver, lost the game there.
Mm-hmm.
No, tonight he missed two. Like, do you think he should be out? Or
yeah, I mean, listen, he's had such a good career, and he's had the last two good years with the Jets. I don't know if I'm going to jettison him off of these two games, but this was a rough one. This was a rough
one. And then, you know, Daboll questionnaire, you know, 4th-and-3 last night, you know, not kicking it, going for it. You think that was a problem or, you know?
No, I love the aggression. I mean, listen, we were killing him for being timid. We were killing him for coaching scared. I like going for it. And then I like the methodology of once you go for it, keep going for it. Like, if you're going to be aggressive and go for it in reasonable situations, but if you're going to go for it 4th-and-2, even on your own side of the field, then go for it. It's like blackjack. If you're going to hit on 16, hit on 16. If you're going to stay on 16, then stay on 16 every time. Like, that's pick a path and go with it. I actually like that part of the strategy from Daboll the other day. But, I mean, they talk about finding ways to lose. I mean, both of these teams, it's unbelievable. Justin in Long Island. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Chris. First time, long time. Appreciate it.
You got it, buddy.
Coming back from MetLife now, almost home, thankfully. I split PSLs with my buddy. I mean, we spend a lot of money going to games week after week, year after year, and it's the same thing. I mean, it's great, 400 yards of offense. It was much more exciting as games in the past. But where do we go from here? I mean, the 4-4, I appreciate your optimism going from there. I mean, do we go for Devontae Adams and give up a second-round pick and some more pieces and... Or do we, I mean,
yeah.
It doesn't look like we're going to have Rodgers next year.
I think you are going to have Rodgers. It depends on, I'm assuming he's going to want to play. I think you are going to have Rodgers next year. So, I mean.
You think he's going to play another season?
Yes, I do. I don't know for sure. He's talked like that. I think he's probably frustrated, and I don't think he wants it to end like this. It depends on how this goes. If he plays really well down the stretch, they win some games and fall short, but he had a representative season, maybe. But if this thing completely bottoms out, I don't know if he's going to want to just run from it. One, where is he going to? Is he done playing then? Because I don't know if he goes anywhere else. And does he really want to just leave the Jets in a worse place than he came here? Does he care? I don't know. I think he's a guy of principle who would hate to have his Hall of Fame career end with being swallowed up by the Jets' crap planet, like I said, as opposed to being the guy who was brought here to rise them above. Like, I don't know.
If they go 4-13, he's going to retire, and this is going to be like Michael Jordan on the Wizards.
They're not going 4-13. They're not going 4-13.
My point is, if it goes terribly the rest of the way, it's going to be like it never happened to him.
No, I understand. I'm not expecting it to go that way. I don't think so. I don't know. It's not the same thing. That was Michael Jordan coming out of retirement for years to join the Wizards with no real expectations. This is coming to the Jets with one of the more talented rosters.
I know. I meant it more in the sense that you can't find like the Jordan Wizards highlight package doesn't exist. Meaning, Rodgers will pretend he was a Packer for life that, and he'll go back and celebrate his championship there and his four MVPs, and he'll never talk about it. He'll go on McAfee. He'll say, the organization was rotten. They let me down from the top to bottom. They had to fire the head coach, blah, blah, blah. They fired my best friend. I didn't want them to. And that'll be that. I got hurt. Wasn't my fault.
That's definitely possible. I also think he's a proud son of a gun who might want to continue to play.
I hope you're right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen,
he's the Jets' best shot at this
point. No, of course. So I think you're still all in at this point. I still think you're all in. If you can get Davante Adams, you do it. Like, you're all in. It's 2-4. You win Sunday. Maybe you hold off a week. Win Sunday. See what happens. When's the trade deadline? Isn't it Halloween? Isn't it like right around? Steve in Rockland. What's up, Steve?
Go away from the Jets for
Of course, yeah. No, we're taking all the calls. Yeah, absolutely. What's up?
Beautiful. Let you and I talk about what I'm now saying is the Stanton factor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? If this guy is going to be Beast Stanton, who's going to steal, all of a sudden he can run? All of a sudden, the guy's stealing bases?
Well, I mean, yeah, well, he stole a base because they weren't paying attention. I don't know if you saw him actually score from third on the wild pitch. I mean, it wasn't like he was running. He's just...
No, I agree. But yeah. I will say this. He hit that home run into a gale-force wind.
Yeah.
Okay? And it hit high off of that back wall.
Yeah, no, he crushed it.
In the bullpen.
Stantonian blast.
And if he's going to do that, and he's going to provide that type of protection for the big guy. And I want to say something about the big guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I discovered a new disease that, you know, I called it 162 one-game-itis.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And I think the big guy has Ted Williams-itis. And I hope my friends at Moderna and Pfizer are listening because they need to come up with a remedy. Because the big guy,
he'll be
the
fine.
Big guy's got
the big guy. The big guy's going to be fine. Ted Williams played in one World Series and didn't hit.
Right.
We've seen Barry Bonds his entire career up until the last few years couldn't hit in the postseason.
Right.
You know, Willie Mays didn't hit that well in the postseason. It's 70, 80 at bats. It's a relatively small sample size. He had a 400 on base percentage in the first series. It's not like he's been an out and out disaster.
No, I'm not.
He'll be fine.
I'm agreeing, but I'm saying if Beast Stanton is going to be there and provide that type of protection, I don't care. I feel sorry for the Indians for the rest of this series, and I don't care if it's the Dodgers or the Mets. Because it's not going to make that. I don't think. What do I know? I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference.
Well, I mean,
Stanton's going to be this beast.
Well, I mean, listen, he's been unbelievable. Stanton has been really crazy, and to watch him in the postseason, it's been a lot of fun. And me personally, it feels great because I've been defending this guy forever. I've been defending this guy at every turn. Every time there's crap being talked about Giancarlo Stanton, I'll be there. Whenever his honor is questioned, I will be there. Because it's just absolute nonsense. We forget this is what he does. He has done this every postseason since 2020. We act like, wow, Stanton, he does this every year. And we forget Then we get to the regular season where clearly we don't care, right? And the Yankee fans are funny because we act like we don't care about the regular season now, right? When Judge is struggling, I don't care what you do in the regular season. You don't care. Then there's a game in June where Stanton strikes out four times, and it's like, I can't watch this anymore. Cut him off the team. Then we care about regular seasons. Then we care. But we forget, this is what Giancarlo has done every opportunity since 2020. He has been a beast in the postseason. He's doing it again. He hits this is a big home run to add to that lead and make it a four-run game. As clearly it became a run that mattered in the eighth inning with Ramirez up as the tying run, which could have been the go-ahead run if he didn't hit that home run. He's come through with base hits. He was the force behind most of the runs in the Royals series. He's back at it again in this series. He looks extremely dangerous. He's been great, but he's not the story of that game. The story of the game is Carlos Rodon and Weaver a little bit, but Carlos Rodon in this game, everybody questioned. I was listening to the Midday Show today. And Sal Licata, who's, is just anti-Yankee right now, tweeting at me, tweeting at everybody who will listen. I hear you, Sal. We got you. Yankees aren't very good. Cleveland can win the series very easily, and they still could. It's only one game. But Carlos Rodon, I don't trust him. You can't start him in this game. The Yankees are making a mistake. He goes out there and freaking dominates. And I know a lot's being made of controlling his emotions. And certainly he let them go in his last start. There's no doubt about it. That game two of that Kansas City Royals series, he was on another planet as far as just letting his emotions go. I mean, he was sticking his tongue out. He was crazy. Here we go, boys. He was nuts. And yes, he controlled it a little bit, and I'm sure that's part of it. But here's the thing with him. This is why they paid for him. And we can kill Brian Cashman at every turn. I'm sure we can. You can give me a million, all the problems with his starting pitching that he signed and traded for and blah, 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 blah. And a lot of it's fair. This is why you bring him here. Because of the stuff. You don't know how he's going to handle stuff mentally. Nobody does until they get here. You just don't know. It's a very difficult thing that Brian Cashman, unlike many other GMs, has to deal with, whether or not they can play at Yankee Stadium in New York. But you bring him here because the ability to get 25 swing and misses in five innings. 25. He's pumping fastballs by people. He's got that slider working. He had this lineup completely off kilter. I mean, the entire game. He was brilliant out there. He was dotting the fastball. He had them swinging over the breaking ball. I mean, he was just flat out dominant. His stuff is that who can give you that performance. And this kind of performance plays in the postseason. Swing and miss plays in the postseason. And then the key moment for me is in the sixth inning. He gives up the home run to the nine hitter. And we saw what happened with him against Salvador Perez in his first start of the playoffs against Kansas City. He comes out after pitching dominant the first three innings, and the leadoff man of the fourth inning, Salvador Perez, hits a home run, and he loses it. He completely unravels. He doesn't make it out of that inning. Yankees go on to lose. He gives up a home run to the nine hitter, an absolute bomb. He follows it up with what I will tell you, and we're going to get on, we can get on Jazz Chisholm. He's been bad. He hit the home run in that very game, Carlos Rodon's last start, that they lost, a kind of a no-nothing home run in the ninth inning. It didn't mean anything. Besides that, he's done nothing offensively. Nothing. The biggest play of this game, without question, the biggest play of this game is after the home run to Rucchio, whatever, pronounce his name. Kwan is up, and he hits a hard ground ball that I thought off the bat was through the hole between the short and third base. And Jazz makes a great play to his left, throws out Kwan, because I'm telling you right now, off of that home run, if Kwan gets a base hit there and is on first base, that whole inning could unravel. That whole inning could unravel. That is an enormous defensive play. It wasn't a great play. It wasn't a
Gold Glove caliber play. It wasn't, you know, as they were showing all day, I guess yesterday was the anniversary of Derek Jeter's jump throw in 1998. It wasn't a jump throw type play or a, you know, go into the stands type play.
Or your favorite, the flip play.
Or my favorite, the flip play. But it was a really important, solid play that kept Rodon in the game and kept that game from unraveling. And he gets through that inning and gets through six innings with one run and nine strikeouts and 25 swing and misses and completely dominated this Cleveland lineup. And Aaron Boone, yet again, made the right call. He's having a terrific postseason. He makes the right call. He starts the right pitcher. He rewards him with a dominant performance. The offense does just enough, and I know people are still hung up. You know, listen, when you get eight walks in a game, when you earn seven, eight walks in a game, luck is the residue of design, my friends. And those, if you don't have the bases loaded, those wild pitches don't mean anything. So, yes, they were still 0 for 7 or whatever, runners in scoring position. They haven't broken out offensively. They haven't put up a 10 spot. They haven't got that double up the alley with the bases loaded. But they've worked the bases loaded with good at-bats. They hit the ball hard a lot. Line drives all over the place in the first couple of innings. Couldn't get that big hit. Judge obviously strikes out looking in the first after a miserable strike two call and then a perfect pitch on a strike three call. But he doesn't come through. The offense, after the first two hits of the game, but you have Gleyber Torres and Soto with just absolute bullet line drives in the first inning. You have Rizzo and Verdugo with absolute bullet line drives. Then you're working walks. Like, this Yankee offense has not broken through, but it has had good at-bat after good at-bat after good at-bat. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize after an inning of good at-bats led to the bases loaded, a young pitcher that the other manager should never have brought in to a situation like that, only his 11th major league appearance and his third time out of the bullpen. You're going to bring in that young kid? You're asking for trouble. So the Yankees benefited, sure, from wild pitches, absolutely. They get a sac fly and a solo home run. There's your five runs. That's all you need because the pitching continues to be great. Rodon was unbelievable. And the bullpen, again, Weaver, has been unbelievable. And I'm watching Dan Plesac call him the best reliever in baseball right now. And it's hard to argue with him because he's spotting his fastball and he is throwing that changeup. And I'll tell you right now, to me, the ball's on this guy. Like, he comes through that inning in the eighth, obviously. He gets the strikeout, and then he gets the ground ball from Ramirez in the biggest at-bat of the game. Right? Hill comes in. We can get to that decision on bringing in Hill. I have a couple thoughts on it. Rizzo can't make the play. The interference call, second and third. He comes in. He gets the biggest outs of that game with a strikeout and Ramirez to roll over as the tying run. That's the biggest at-bat of the game. And then you get, or send one to, roll over to second. Then you get the ninth inning, he walks the leadoff man on, it should have been four pitches, he got a lucky call on the fourth pitch. He walks him on five pitches. The next hitter is a, I left my scorebook, I'll get it in the other room, but it's a guy who's in for defensive replacement late in the game. He's a bench player. He's got him 3-1, about to walk the first two guys with a three-run lead. He's about to walk the first two guys in that inning and create an issue for himself. 3-1 to a no-name, light-hitting defensive replacement in this game, and this son of a bitch throws a perfect changeup on the bottom outside corner. Like, that is a ballsy pitch. That is, I have confidence in my stuff. That is, I'm better than you. That is, I'm feeling myself. And if Weaver hasn't been unfreaking believable, and then, of course, my guy Clay Holmes, so much to get to. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to the Mets. We'll transition from the ugly Jet game into the baseball for the next 2 hours. McMonagle here with you on the Fan, 888-808-1019. But the Yankees take game one on the back of Carlos Rodon, just enough offense, another Stantonian blast from Big G, who continues to do this in the postseason. Weaver at the back end of the game, along with Clay Holmes. And, of course, the Mets, who get off the deck. Lindor, who pulls them off the deck with a first-inning leadoff home run that immediately set the tone for the rest of this game. And now we are 6 wins away. What's his name? Daniel Schneeman? Yeah. He's got a 3-1 count on Daniel Schneeman with a runner on first and nobody out. And that guy, this Weaver, has the balls to throw him a changeup? Love it. I mean, if it would have been Bowl 4, I would have hated it. But I love it. But the Mets get another win, and we are now 6 wins away from a Subway Series. The Yankees will play tonight to look with their ace on the mound to take a 2-0 lead, a commanding 2-0 lead in this series. The Mets will head home a day off today, looking to get back into business at Citi Field against the Los Angeles Dodgers for a Game 3 tomorrow night. 888-808-1019, your baseball calls, and a little more Met talk on the other side. 888-808-1019, we'll be right back.